Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of Dogcast Radio. This time, in Puppy Playtime, Jenny reviews a game for the Nintendo DS, which is a must for animal lovers.
If, like me, you love dogs, you might be planning a career as a vet. If so, you can try your hand at Poorly Pets, My Vet Practice.
And we have some training advice on how to introduce your new puppy to your older dog.
Okay, well, normally to introduce a new dog to an existing household, I take them both to a neutral place where nobody owns anything. So like a park or some place that is someplace where they could play on a loose lead and get to know each other, and you can keep the puppy safe.
Plus, we have the Dogcast Radio news and an interview with the only dog magazine that dared to criticise Crufts. But before all that, we continue our own Crufts coverage. The utility group is the most varied dog group and might easily have been called miscellaneous. However, the utility group covers some of the best-loved breeds, including that most striking of dogs, the Dalmatian. We met a mother and daughter who were competing. And if you think you know what a Dalmatian looks like, listen up. You may just be surprised.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she is, but she's very naughty.
Well, some of the best dogs are.
Yes. Yeah. You like umbrellas and mobile phones, don't you? And all sorts of things.
And where have you come from this morning?
We've come from southeast London.
Yeah. And have you come up this morning?
Yes.
And how's she taking it?
She's getting used to the noise because she's only been in this venue once before, and it's for Crufts really is the most noisy show we have.
Yeah.
And as she's young, so she's not been to a really noisy show before, so she's getting used to it. The fun will start when the fly ball starts just over there.
Yes.
We've got the main arena, and when the fly ball starts and that sort of thing, it's very, very noisy.
Yeah.
So we'll see how she copes.
Yeah.
But she's not doing too badly.
No.
She likes to see all the people.
She's very friendly, isn't she?
Yes, yeah, she's a real sweetie. Yeah.
No, she's a brown.
Yes, it's what we call liver spotted.
Yeah.
The liver spotted have brown spots and a brown nose and around their eye rims, and their eyes are amber coloured. And the blacks have black spots. There's one there.
Mm.
The blacks have black spots and the black noses and things, and their eyes are dark. Should be dark brown.
Yeah.
So you've got the difference in eye colours with the spot
yeah.
colour.
And is that something you can breed for, or is it a surprise?
You can breed for it. It's a bit complicated, the genetics of colours. But that's the liver. That's her mum. Mother was black and her father was liver. Now her mother was liver and her father was black. Livers will always make two livers together and you will get liver puppies, only livers. But you can make two blacks together and sometimes get liver if the blacks are not dominant. A dominant black will never have a liver.
Right.
But a non-dominant black, and if you have a lot of liver in the pedigree, then you often get liver puppies. But it's a bit complicated.
Yes. You've got to know what you're doing then.
Yes.
Oh, well, best of luck.
Thank you very much. We need it today.
Oh.
We all do.
There you go, the Dalmatian, also available in brown. From one dog with an individual look to another, this time from the toy group, the Bichon Frise. Obviously, living with a Bichon, I have an interest in this breed. I expected a ladylike little lapdog. What we got is a strong-minded little tomboy who loves to dig, lie down in mud, and generally get as grubby as possible. What I wanted to know was, do those beautifully turned-out Bichons at Crufts get a chance to indulge these tendencies? And if they do, what on earth do you wash them in to get them back to white?
This is Rodney here.
Now, he looks beautiful at the moment, and he's pristine and white and
yes.
all fluffed up.
Yes.
Does he stay like that?
No. Yesterday, he was up to his chest in mud.
Yeah.
The garden's like a quagmire.
Yeah.
And I believe that they've got to have exercise because they should have muscle tone.
Mm.
And how else can you get it unless you exercise them outside?
Yeah.
So he is bathed once a week.
Yeah.
And last night, I finished him at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Gosh.
And he did have 3 shampoos, one after the other.
In Daz, I bet.
No, a secret shampoo.
Okay.
Secret.
I mean, we've got a Bichon. And I've never got her looking anything like this. So, I mean, it's a lot of work when you bath them, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah, it's... I mean, there's training videos now. Well, there have been for years. I've actually done one for AMP.
Yeah.
And I take you through all the bathing and what shampoo you should use, and the techniques and the drying techniques, little tips on how to get the whiskers white. Look, when they're all wet, you put a powder in and it takes out the staining, and how to treat the dog while you bath it so it's not stressed. And this dog definitely doesn't stress.
He doesn't, does he?
No. In fact, I was saying, I was trimming him and I was holding his head up and he was standing on the table last night, well, this morning at 2 o'clock, and I took my hand away and he fell off the table.
Oh no.
Because he was fast asleep, stood up.
Goodness. And he still managed to win a first.
Yes.
Yeah. So what class was that?
Special junior.
Oh, right. Oh, how old is he now?
He's just a week over 14 months old.
Yeah.
So he just missed special puppy by a week, but yeah.
So what,
baby?
Yeah. So what are you going on to now?
All the unbeaten dogs have to challenge for the dog ticket.
What's that?
A dog ticket is you have to have 3 tickets under 3 different judges to become a champion.
Right.
But in the unbeaten class, because the open dog is on now, and all the top dogs in the country and champions are in that, so a poor little lowly Rodney, who's only 14 months old, really doesn't stand a chance.
Aww,
but
you never know.
We'll go out there and play.
He's got the right attitude.
Oh, yes, he's got a very good attitude. Very good attitude.
Rodney the Bichon was lovely, and he certainly took Crufts in his well-manicured stride. His owner, who we were talking to, is Sue Davidson, who, amongst other things, is an advanced master groomer, twice groomer of the year, and an international gold medalist. And Sue wants to highlight the beneficial effects of grooming on the relationship between dog and handler. So we hope to talk to her again sometime soon. We'll be bringing you more from Crufts later in the show.
Dog proverbs. A dog in a kennel barks at his fleas. A dog hunting does not notice them.
The only thing better than sharing your life with a dog is sharing your life with 2 dogs. The idea of having 2 dogs who keep each other company, play, walk and romp together, then curl up together in peaceful sleep is wonderful, but can be tricky to achieve. And how you introduce the dogs is vital. I spoke to trainer Lynn Richards to find the best way of introducing a new puppy after a listener posed that very question.
We had this email, Lynn, from some people that had a 9-month-old yellow Labrador already, and they were getting they're getting a puppy, and their trainer had said to them, separate them until the new puppy is 16 weeks old, so he gets out of his...
No.
Yeah, I know. This rang bells with me immediately. And so what is the right way to introduce a new puppy to your existing dog?
I would bring them to the dog is already in the house, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, normally to introduce a new dog to an existing household, I take them both to a neutral place where nobody owns anything.
Mm.
So like a park or a... You know, someplace where they could play on a loose lead and get to know each other, and you can keep the puppy safe.
Mm.
But you can also meet, you know, the new dog, the old dog can meet the new dog and not feel threatened because it's on his territory.
Yeah.
And then when you return to the house, you return everybody all together.
Mm.
So that there's no territoriality going on.
So they all come into the house, as you say, the existing dog isn't already there, and sort of this stranger comes in, you all go in together, don't you, then?
Absolutely, right.
Okay, and then how would we proceed then?
Well, then what you do is you make sure that the puppy doesn't try to take over the existing dog's things. Like you make a new bed for the puppy,
mm-hmm.
and you give the puppy its own toys. The older dog gets more attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like when you bring a baby into a house and you have a dog.
Mm.
You have to make sure that the routine doesn't change for the dog that was there already.
Yeah.
And the new puppy gets its own special new routine, but it doesn't impinge on the routine belonging to the old dog.
Yeah, yeah.
So that there's no jealousy there.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't need to sort of keep them, you know, strictly separate.
No, you don't want to separate them because the older dog, the existing dog, is going to be a good source of training. I mean, having a dog in the house already saves you probably weeks and weeks of training with a new dog.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I found was brilliant was when we had our puppy Star, and we'd already got Buddy, who was sort of three by then. And when they were both in the garden, and you'd call him in, and of course he'd run in, and she'd just follow him. So you could immediately say to her, "Come, good girl," and treat her, and it was so much easier.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to do that. I mean, when you say, you know, let's go out, you're probably going to take the dogs out more frequently when you have a puppy in the house. But everybody gets to go together unless the puppy is distracted by the older dog, then you would take them out separately. But normally, you say go pee. If you've taught your dog properly, you're giving them commands for peeing and pooping or whatever your commands are. I go pee, I go poop, whatever the dog is what words you use.
Yeah.
I say puppy poop to mine, and that's what he does. Everybody has their own words.
Yeah, yeah. We say hurry up.
Okay, well, that's fine, and hurry up can be generic for both activities, but I want to be specific with my dogs because I've done obedience training and competition. If I want to eliminate or defecate, I have to use a specific word for that because if I know that they have to go before I go in the ring, I don't want to have a scene in the middle of an obedience competition, so
no.
I've specified my words so that the dog knows specifically what I want him to do. Of course, they can't always go on command, but you usually know when they have to go. And if you teach a puppy that way, he already sees the older dog doing it. It doesn't take long for them to pick up that.
Yeah, and as you say, it just is a big help. Once you've trained your first one, you've done the hardest bit. The next one is going to sort of follow, but you've got to get it right with that first one, haven't you?
Absolutely, and that's part of the training process that you go to, taking your dog to obedience training. And oh, by the way, you don't want to eliminate that process with a new puppy. You don't want to take that away from them, so you definitely want to go to obedience training in school with them for the first 6 to 12 months of their life because you want them to get used to other dogs and socialization skills. And
so,
that's not something that they're going to get at home otherwise.
No, no. So although we're not keeping them separate, we are, you know, we they're both part of the family and we're, you know, we're making them both feel a valued part of the family. We do need to spend some time with the puppy and sort of train just the puppy.
Absolutely, and you want to do that with the existing dog as well. You want to give him special time, just like you got before.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that sort of rang alarm bells with me and didn't sound right from what I knew was that they'd been advised to separate these dogs until the puppy was 16 weeks so that he was out of his fear period.
Oh, no, you don't want that because you want him to be exposed. It's just like people who take their children or don't put their children in daycare or, you know, socialize them with other kids until they're 5 or 6 years old.
Mm.
What happens when you finally do expose them to the other dog is you're going to end up with a really sick dog or a really frustrated dog or a really scared dog. So you want him to grow being used to this other dog along the whole way. You want everything to be as normal all the way through.
Mm.
You don't want anything to change.
Yeah.
So no, definitely not. You want them to be part of the family from the day they walk in the door until the day they die.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, the other thing that they've raised that was mentioned to them was that puppies can get on older dogs' nerves by, for example, playing with their tail or whatever. Now, if that kind of situation arises, how do we deal with that?
Repeat the situation so that I understand it clearly, please.
Okay, right. Basically, that what they said they were advised to do, sort of to keep the puppy separate, was one of the reasons was that if the puppy annoyed the older dog, you know, the existing dog that's in the house, if the puppy comes in and bites their tail or, you know, annoys them somehow, the older dog could sort of, you know, react badly to that. So how do you stop?
Well, yeah, you
that's a good thing. You want that. You want that dog, the puppy, to learn adult socialization skills. I mean, first off, he should be learning at the mother, when he's with the mother for the first, you know, 8 weeks of his life, that it's not a very good thing to bother an adult dog, because you're going to get reprisals. You know, you're going to get punishment for that, even if it's just a nip on the tail or whatever it is that the mother dog needs to do to control the child, just like you would with your own children. And then when you bring this other dog into the house, A, you as the owner of the dogs, it's your job to make sure that the puppy isn't ever put in a position of danger.
Mm.
If you feel that your dog is dangerous to that dog, you shouldn't have another puppy in the house. And then if your dog is a good, well-behaved dog, as it should be, then the next step you're going to do is to babysit and make sure that your dog is behaving properly around the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure the puppy is not so annoying to the older dog that he is in danger. But the whole point of having an older dog and a younger puppy is so that the older dog can teach socialization skills to that puppy.
Mm.
And that's part of the process. A little nip on the tail every once in a while is certainly not going to be bad for the puppy. It's going to be a good guiding system for him to learn the proper behavior around other dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like when you're teaching a puppy not to bite. I have no problem with folding the puppy's lips underneath his teeth and letting him bite on his own lips to figure out that that's just not a good thing to do.
Mm. Yeah. I have to say, our experience has been our older dog is a Labrador, and he is a very, mm-hmm. very tolerant dog. And he has put up with, you know, behaviour from the puppy that he can, you know, and he sort of warned her and warned her. And then eventually he will just sort of snarl, and then she'll go on her back. Yeah.
And that's exactly what should happen. She gave up. She showed him that she understood he was in charge, and everything went back to the status quo. And that's exactly the way it should be. And anybody who's depriving their puppy of that, what's going to end up happening is that puppy won't learn the proper social acceptance behaviors, and they'll do something wrong and end up dead or hurt badly.
Yeah.
The part of the reason we really want people to keep their puppies with the mother until the age of 8 weeks, because the mother spends the period from 6 weeks to 8 weeks teaching proper socialization to those puppies. And when you take them away that early, they don't have the opportunity to learn that.
Yeah, which is a vital skill for them to gain, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, is there anything else, any other advice that you would give to someone that already has a dog and is bringing in a second, you know, a new puppy?
I would just say make sure that that existing dog gets plenty of attention. Make sure that the puppy gets separate attention as well, and that you also teach them to play together well by playing with them simultaneously. So you're going to blend it. You're going to make sure that each dog has its own time with you, and then make sure that there's play time where everybody's supervised, that everybody can learn to get along together. It's a process like everything else. It's like raising children.
Mm.
When you're raising children, it is different than dogs. Obviously, that children are children and dogs are dogs. But the same training behaviors are used for both, in that you want to be consistent.
Lynn's had lots of experience of bringing new puppies into the family, and you can see a photo of one of Lynn's beautiful Great Danes on the Dogcast site, where there's also a link to Lynn's website, Dog Logic.
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com.
Back to our Crufts coverage. The Hound group is a very varied group, including the elegant long-haired Afghan hound, the sombre-looking, though clown at heart, low-slung Basset hound, the delicate Whippet, and the strong, athletic Rhodesian Ridgeback. We went and had a look at the tallest of the hounds, the Irish Wolfhound. And here again, you think you know what an Irish Wolfhound looks like? Some shade of grey. Well, listen up for another surprise.
You've got quite an unusual colour, Irish Wolfhound. What colour, what do you call that?
A Wheaton.
And they're not common?
No, they're, I suppose you breed for them, really, if you wanted to, but they're just starting out, really. The brindles are more popular, I suppose, than these.
So, I mean, when you go in, are you at a disadvantage with that colouring or not in the show ring?
It's like any colour, I suppose. It's whatever the judge prefers at the end of the day, so it's not, it's whatever they like.
They're gorgeous. They're very laid back, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Slouch.
Roughly how tall are they? Because they are very tall.
I wouldn't have the foggiest. I'm quite short, so they come up to like my waist.
So they seem bigger to you, being short, yeah? Okay, so they're quite a big, imposing looking dog. What's the character like?
They're actually quite bubbly when they're out, but when they're inside, they're like really laid back, go to sleep in front of the fire. But outside, I mean, they're not like the ball kind of dogs, but they'll sort of follow you around and they always want to be with you, so.
Yeah. And how do they get on with other dogs?
Fine, absolutely fine. They're lovely with other dogs, not a problem. So sometimes they're a bit... The other dogs are quite scared of them because obviously they're a lot taller, but and they're like, oh! And little dogs are the worst because they're like, oh, I'll give you all mouth, but no.
Yeah.
They're like big, giant, gentle things, really.
They're lovely because there's several just cuddled up together, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all best friends. They're like a pack when they're together, so...
And have you been in already?
I have.
Yeah. How did you do?
I was second with the Wheaton.
Smashing, yeah.
Yeah, so top to pieces.
Yeah.
So.
Brilliant. Well done.
Thank you.
So the Wolfhound is the tallest of the hound group. Which one is the smallest? It's the Dachshund. And we found some extra small ones all cuddled up in the same crate.
Now, you've got these five little faces looking out of there. What breed are they?
Miniature long-haired Dachshunds.
Oh, they're gorgeous. Presumably they all get along really well.
Yeah, they're just one big family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're so adaptable. Yeah. Yeah, they're done with everything and everybody.
Yeah,
they're fine.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Ones and old ones. Yeah, they're one big family.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah, and they all live together at home?
Oh, yes, yes. They just came this year. I have to take it in turns because I can't afford to bring them all.
Oh.
So as they qualify, like, the older ones come every so often and the others come. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
many have you got all together then, dare I ask?
Over 12. I've got two German Shepherds.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'll work them. My father breeds those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who's the boss, the German Shepherds or the Dachshunds?
Oh. Same with going over the fields and as well. They're hound dogs. They'll go forever, but the German Shepherds, they're soon ready to come back.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not really the perception of a Dachshund, is it, with a lot of people?
No, but they're not a toy dog. They're a hound dog. They're so hardy. They love any weather and they go through anything. Yeah, but all they want to do is just be with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. Yeah, just one big happy family.
Yeah. And you've got the advantage of they're portable.
That's right. Yes. Up and go, don't we?
Yeah.
And
have you been in the ring already?
Yeah, I've been in. I've just got a second in veteran with the father.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's already a champion. And I've got a fifth with the little girl.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting to go in with one more girl.
Yeah. So the babies, is this their first cruft?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So then you have to qualify, you know, in a year in advance. So the puppies I've been showing this year, they've qualified for next year.
Yeah,
so there'll be another team out next year.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
More from Cruft later.
Dog proverbs. If a dog's prayers were answered, bones would rain from the sky.
And now for our younger listeners, it's puppy playtime. Hi and welcome to Puppy Playtime. I have discovered a great new game for the Nintendo DS. If, like me, you love dogs, you might be planning a career as a vet. If so, you can try your hand at Poorly Pets, My Vet Practice. Not only does this game expand your knowledge of animals, but you get the chance to ride your horse too. The more skill you develop as a vet within the game, the more species visit your practice. I enjoyed it. I hope you do too. While we were at Crufts, we visited the Young Kennel Club stand.
The Young Kennel Club is for young members now up to the age of 24. And basically you can join about the age of 7. Six,
yes.
So quite a young age you can start. There's competitions for agility, obedience, handling, breed stakes. There's Hear What To Music going on. We've just started a new competition, the grooming, that's about to happen behind us.
Yeah.
So there's loads of different sort of competitions. They also run training days. And then there's the Kennel Club National Camp, which is sort of the highlight of the year for the young members. And that's a week-long camp with specialist trainers come in and they have a programme that's set out for them. that every day they have different activities to do. In the evenings or socially events for the members so they get to meet new friends and things. So it's a very social club.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Finals happen at Crufts each year.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's all sort of building good relationships with your dog and respect for the dog. And
yes, we promote good ownership, training your dog, kind manner, good responsibility. Yeah.
If you'd like to find out more, there are links on the Dogcast Radio site to the Young Kennel Club and the Junior American Kennel Club. Till next time, have fun with your dogs and make sure your dog has fun with you.
Dog Proverbs. If you wish the dog to follow you, feed him.
Hello, and welcome to the Dogcast Radio News. I'm Kate.
And I'm Nick. Today we have a new theory on the meaning of tail wagging, but first a couple of stories that might give food for thought.
Yes, first of all, the dangers of food. In an effort to encourage her dog Missy to eat, Elaine Larrabee from Ottawa, Canada, ate some dog food herself. Devotion above and beyond what most pet owners would be willing to do, maybe. And it certainly turned out badly for Elaine, who for several days fell ill, foaming at the mouth, vomiting, suffering from loss of appetite and other symptoms. Missy also fell ill, and Elaine is waiting for test results to establish whether their illnesses are linked to the worrying tainted food problems recently experienced across the US and Canada.
Meanwhile, in Maryland, America, there was food trouble of a different kind. Dog owner Debbie Parkhurst was eating an apple when she started to choke on a piece. Luckily for her, her golden retriever Toby spotted she was in trouble and leapt into action. Debbie was hitting herself on the chest in an effort to perform the Heimlich manoeuvre when Toby took over and started jumping up and down on Debbie's chest. The piece of apple was dislodged and Toby had saved the day. Other than a few paw-shaped bruises, Debbie is now fine. It just goes to show, though, you don't just have to be careful about what you eat, but also how you eat it.
Missing and stolen dogs have been hitting the headlines more and more recently. But in Gloucester City, New Jersey, it's the police who need help finding a lost dog. Police dog Scotty, a black German shepherd, has been missing since March the 18th, after his kennel collapsed under the weight of snow and ice, and Scotty escaped. To encourage the public to come forward with information, the police department have increased the reward offer to $5,700. Let's hope Scotty is home and back at work soon.
Dogs have a variety of ways of communicating, one of the best known being a happy wagging tail. But researchers recently claimed that the way the tail is wagging has significance. For example, if the tail is wagging to the right, the dog is seeing something familiar, while if the tail is wagging to the left, the dog may want to get away from something. The research was carried out by Professor Giorgio Vallottagara of the University of Trieste and Professor Angelo Quaranta and Dr. Marcello Sinistalli of Bari University, Italy. You might think that this is all a bit far-fetched, but in humans, the left side of the brain deals with approaching things, while the right side reacts when there is a need to retreat. So maybe it's the same with dogs.
Well, my brain is telling me it's our last story for now, so that's all from the news desk. Goodbye.
Dog Proverbs. A dog has 4 feet, but he can't walk 4 different paths.
Showing your dog at Crufts can get quite complicated, you know. So I asked the owner of a young Cairn Terrier to help me understand. Her dog, Lewis, had just won a first in a limit class. But what on earth is a limit class?
There's a puppy class, there's a junior class, there's a special yearling class, which speaks for itself. They're dogs from 12 to 24 months. And there's a postgraduate, which is slightly limited to what you win. You can only go into postgraduate when you haven't won, I think it's 5 first prizes at championship shows. In limit, I think it's 3 cc's, and he hasn't won a cc because he's quite a young dog.
Yeah.
So, but open, anything can go.
Right, yes.
So limit is really slightly restricted, but not terribly.
Mm, yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes, yeah.
And has he been to Crufts before?
Yes, he won a first last year.
Excellent.
Yes, he did. He's been twice and he's won two firsts. And you could really knock me down with a feather today because I didn't expect it.
Oh, brilliant.
There's a lot of foreign dogs here today in the open class.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably his limit today. But, I mean, it's good, isn't it? First prize, 2 years running.
Yeah. And so what will you do now between classes?
Me?
I mean, how do you... He's been in, you know, he's had his moment of glory, he's gone around, he's come out, you know, is he happy to go back? How do you keep him sort of fresh for this next class?
Well, it's only just after they've judged this. I'm just going to let him have a rest. I haven't fed him today, so he's pretty hungry, and I've got a pocket full of Titbits to keep him, you know, looking at me. The trouble is with Cairn Terriers, and like quite a lot of the terrier breeds, is we don't stack them, you know, we don't get down on our hands and knees and put them in place and keep them in place. You have to show them on a loose lead.
Yes.
Which is quite difficult, really, because they need to have their tail up, obviously.
Yes.
So I always have a piece of leather.
Yeah. Keep him lively.
Most people do.
Yeah.
A trade secret, a pocket full of liver. I think I'll stick to cheese, though. Now, the Cairn Terrier is from the Terrier Group. The clue's in the name, really, with that one. While terriers don't tend to shed much, they do require grooming and stripping to remove the dead hair. As a consequence, the terrier benches were a whir of brushes and combs. We interrupted one young dog's preparations.
She's very good. She's on a grooming table, and she just sat there quite happily, isn't she?
She doesn't bother.
No.
And she hasn't been to many shows.
Yeah.
She went best in show last week at a dog show. So... we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Now, she's on a grooming table. How much grooming is there involved?
These are quite a lot because the coat grows all the time. So we have to groom them, say, at least once. Just keep on top of it once a week and brush them and what have you, and bath them and what have you. But they don't seem to bother.
She's one of the most laid-back dogs I've seen.
And yet the father is a lunatic. Absolute lunatic.
She clearly took after her mother then. So far, we've talked to a few dogs going home with a rosette, but lots go home empty-handed. There's a saying in the show dog world that win or lose, you take the best dog home with you. And this lady is a great example of that. She was sitting in the benches with her dog on her lap, and there's a photo of them on the Dogcast site, along with many others we took at Crufts.
Have you been in or?
Yes, thrown out.
Oh,
never mind. Had your moment of fame, haven't you?
Oh. And how did she cope?
He coped very well, although he is a bit of a handful. Yeah. He barks and jumps up at times, but no, he's quite good.
And he's a border terrier?
He's a border terrier, yes, through and through.
Yeah. And how old is he?
He's just over three.
Yeah. So he's three. He's exploring my handbag. Yes, hello.
He's got any treats, I'm afraid. He'll be in the pockets.
Oh.
Food orientated at shows, aren't you?
So he's three, so he's done plenty of shows, has he?
Yes, he's done quite a few, actually, yes. We live on the Isle of Wight, so obviously we're a bit restricted as to where we can travel. This is about as far north as we go in a day. But, no, we do champ shows and open shows, so, yeah.
Gosh, so you travelled from the Isle of Wight this morning?
Yes, caught the 5:30 ferry, up at 3:30.
Oh, okay. And you're going back tonight?
Yes.
That's a long day, isn't it?
It's a hell of a long day, but enjoy it. We have a nice day out. Four of us come together, so we have a, you know, bit of a spend as well.
Yes.
And see everybody.
Yes, there's plenty of shopping at Crufts, isn't
there? Yes, lovely. Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Well, better luck next year then.
Yeah, well, we've had a lovely day. That's all we've come for.
Crufts is perhaps the most well-known fixture of the dog show world. But is it good for dogs? UK magazine Dogs Today hit the headlines for daring to question Crufts. As usual, though, the headlines don't give the full picture. So to get at the truth, I spoke to Dogs Today publisher and editor Beverly Cuddy.
This year, we were very aware that once a year, the general media takes an interest in dogs, and it's Crufts is the key to that. And this year, we made a decision that we would try and raise the profile of the concerns that we have for the health of the nation's dogs, and that really are worried that the Kennel Club aren't yet doing enough to guarantee the future well-being of all dogs in Britain. So we did commission an article that ran in our edition that came out at Crufts time that was a very long, in-depth look at the health of pedigree dogs. And when we came to write the cover lines for the front cover, I thought, gosh, well, how can I make that sound exciting and interesting? And I came up with a cover line of, should Crufts be banned? Now, the article didn't actually really reflect that. It was really quite an in-depth, serious article about the health of dogs. But when it comes down to it, it's sort of saying, well, actually, well, should it be banned? Because at the moment, it doesn't, well, the equivalent to Crufts in another country is something that we feel happy about, where all the dogs that are involved in the Swedish version of Crufts have been health tested before they've been bred from. After they've won their champion's title, they get a temperament test. There's all these measures in place that make you actually think, well, actually, I've got no problem at all with this dog showing malarkey if at the end of the day it means that we get healthier dogs at the end of it. And, well, if that isn't the case, if health isn't the centre of the dog showing world, then, well, how happy do we really feel sitting on the sofa watching Ben Fogle talking about Crufts? And I have to say, the more I've thought about this, the more upset I get about it. Some people would say, well, that's very bad of you because you've been a dog show person, you've exhibited at Crufts, you've won. Why should you spoil the fun for everyone else? And I think, well, no, I don't mind you all having fun, but I do worry that we don't have the best kennel club in the world. We've got the biggest dog show, but we haven't necessarily got the best. When we look at the smaller, younger kennel clubs, health is much higher on their agenda. And we would think that by whipping up a little bit of a media furore around Crufts, we embarrass the kennel club into looking in its own backyard and saying, well, actually, isn't it about time we made health testing mandatory and really started putting a bit more effort into promoting the excellent schemes they've invented, like the accredited breeder scheme, but actually putting a bit more welly behind it so that it's not just done to say, look, we are doing something. It's actually something, though, that they're passionately believing in that means that in the future I won't get any more phone calls from readers that say, I bought a Kennel Club registered dog. It's now having its hips operated on. I've just found out my pet insurance would only cover me for one hip. It was Kennel Club registered. I thought it was a mark of quality. I now realise neither parent was hip tested and it's a breed it should have been. And I go, I hear this all the time. And it makes me very depressed that 17 years our magazine's been going. I do sound like a broken record. I've been banging on about this for 17 years, and it may only sound like I only wake up and do this once a year, but I worry about this 24/7, 365 days of the year, and I'm afraid I will be being boring again next year. I'm depressed to say I probably will have to do this again next year because I have very little faith in reform happening in the next year.
I think it may come down to having to kidnap Ben Fogle.
Well, bless him. I think Ben's put on there as the rosy face, the smiley puppy dog eyes. That you look at if you sit on the sofa and just watch it and let it all wash over you, it is lovely. You see beautiful dogs running around on a green carpet. But at the end of the day, you suddenly go, hold on. This is the thing that really puts it into focus to me. I've had a few little fights this year as to my dates and whether my dates are right or the Kennel Club dates are right, but my research shows that man and dog have been together for in excess of 100,000 years. Kennel Club would say 20,000, but I've found a geneticist in America who says 135,000. We've had dog and man together hundreds of thousands of years. We've only had Kennel Clubs, dog shows and all this stuff 150 years. And in that time, we stopped breeding for function, we started breeding for a human ideal of beauty, and we closed down all these gene pools. It's a ticking time bomb, and if our kennel clubs aren't jumping up and down and saying, we've really got to keep an eye on all this, folks. We've got to put health right at the top of our agenda. Then it's just going to escalate. The number of hereditary health problems will go up and up. And we can all hold out for a utopia where we've got a DNA test for every single condition. But the fact is, we already have got loads and loads of health tests that are very, very effective for hips, for eyes, for hearts, for loads of other things that are already there, elbows, you name it, and they're sadly underused. The Kennel Club will say, yes, the number of people using these has gone up year on year, that the results are improving, but there is 45,000 Labrador puppies born and registered at the Kennel Club every year. In 35 years, according to the BVAKC website, only 100,000 dogs have ever been tested for hips. Mm. Now, that to me is a drop in the ocean. Mm. And every single dog that is in a breed that is affected by one of these serious life-limiting, life-damaging diseases should be tested before being bred from. It's absolutely shameful that people are continuing to breed in ignorance. And I must say, we're thinking of running a campaign all year round now saying, come on, reform the Kennel Club. Get what we have in other European countries where, to use the registration system, health testing is mandatory. Because there is no reason why it shouldn't be.
She makes a good case, doesn't she? And, true to her word, if you can get hold of the latest edition of Dogs Today, there is a follow-up on the Crufts article with a headline and article urging the UK Kennel Club to reform. This is a subject that has provoked strong feelings on both sides of the discussion. If you would like to contact Beverly Cuddy, there's a link on the Dogcast site.
Dog Proverbs. A dog kennel is not a place to keep a sausage.
In an upcoming episode of Dogcast Radio, we will have an interview with the owners of Onion, a miniature bull terrier with many claims to fame. If you're in the UK and you'd like to meet Onion in the flesh, you can catch her at Lewisham Pettastic. For more details, check out the Dogcast site. On to sadder news now, with the passing on of Skid Boot. Skid Boot developed an amazing range of behaviours, lived a very full life, and has now died aged 14 years old. He was buried on the ranch he helped establish and build. While David Hartwig carries on his performances with his other dogs, I guess there'll only ever be one Skid Boot. If you've never encountered Skid Boot before, it's well worth checking out his website. Till next time, look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. By phone from the UK, you can contact us on 0121-288-0922. From the US, you can contact us on our American number, which is 315-849-2022. From any other country, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121-288-0922. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. And as ever, the final word goes to Jenny.
A farmer asked his sheepdog to count how many sheep there were in the field. The sheepdog said, 40. That's funny, said the farmer. I thought there was only 36. There was, said the sheepdog, but I rounded them up.